إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعين وأستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها جزاك الله خيرا. فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. أبريز الله سبحانه وتعالى and he's the only one worthy of praise. I seek his help, his guidance and his forgiveness. I believe in him, I trust him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is Al-Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Al-Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Al-Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. I'd like to welcome you for continuation of explanation the book Bulugh al-Maram, attainment of the objective, for Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani. Today is our 7th class for the 5th album, and we're still dealing with the book of marriage. So today, inshallah, for those people who have the book, you may refer to page number 389, and we're going to be starting a new chapter. Our chapter today is relating to باب العدة والإحداد والاستبراء وغير ذلك. This chapter concerning عدة and إحداد and استبراء. العدة is the time waiting period for a woman after the death of the husband, or after divorce, or after separation, or after khul'a. What is the period that she have to wait before she get married. So the time of waiting before accepting any proposal, this period called Iddah, a waiting period. It takes place after death or after divorce or separation or khula. A woman have to wait a certain period before she can accept a new proposal for marriage. Also, the chapter will refer to al-ihdad. And ihdad comes from al-had, to mean to stop something or to prevent something. And when we talk in the meaning of this linguistic, to stop something, religiously talking, that stopping or preventing the woman from beautifying herself in a means of kohl in the eyes, or wearing certain clothes, okay, or putting certain perfume, because during this period she could not do anything due to the fact that her husband died, as example. So she is not permitted to be in a certain clothes or in a certain appearance. So this time called time of ihdad, that she are have to be prevented from dealing in certain manner and certain way presenting herself in public. And istibra, which is a third expression, that to make sure that the woman womb is free from pregnancy, okay, that other words, that means she is not pregnant before somebody else to marry her. So this was our chapter today is dealing with, and this is chapter number 11, page number 389, and the hadith is 945. عن المصور عن المسور ابن مخرمة عن المسور ابن مخرمة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن المسور ابن مخرمة أن سبيعة الأسلمي رضي الله تعالى عنها نفست بعد وفاة زوجها عليكم السلام بليال فجاءت إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فاستأذنته أن تنكح فأذن لها فنكحت رواه البخاري وأصله في الصحيحين وفي لفظ أنها وضعت بعد وفاة زوجها بأربعين ليلة. This hadith which reported by al-Miswar ibn Makhrama, that Subay'a al-Aslamiyya, after her husband had passed away, she had delivered, that means she gave a birth to her baby, and this happened in certain numbers of nights after the death of her husband. And she came to question the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning the permissibility of seeking marriage or accepting proposal for marriage. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had permit her to do so. And in another narration, that this happened in 40 days after the death of her husband. Now, as I said, there is a different iddah, there is a different waiting period. Not all the women have the same number of nights. to wait. Okay, there is a difference between a woman that have a divorce 3 times from a woman that have a khul', that she seeks separation herself from her husband, from a woman that her husband pass away. So we're talking here in this hadith specifically about a woman that her husband died. When a Muslim her husband die, she have to wait for a period of 4 months and 10 days before she can propose or accept proposal for marriage. 4 months and 10 days. But this hadith has exception. Here, this woman, what happened to her, that after certain numbers of nights, okay, which been explained by other narrations, that this night was what, 40 nights. And she came and asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the permissibility of her getting married. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed her. So this is was a exception for the general ruling. The general ruling for a woman that her husband died is what? 4 months and 10 days. So we say the exception, a woman that her husband passed away, but she is pregnant. The moment that she delivered her baby, now if it's a month or two, doesn't matter how much time it is, as soon she delivers the baby, now she can accept proposal. Her iddah is over. What's make different? That she was a pregnant woman, although that her husband passed away. So from this hadith, we understand that iddah is a must. What is iddah again? The waiting period. Waiting period after divorce or separation or what? Or death of the husband. The waiting period, this called iddah. So iddah is a must upon every woman before she can remarry. Number two, we understand from this hadith that the iddah of a pregnant woman that her husband pass away is by delivering her baby. Now, whatever she delivered, if it's a form baby or deformed baby or miscarriage, okay, the baby come alive or dead, doesn't make difference. The moment she deliver whatever in her stomach, even if it's not complete creation with only a portion or dead, still this considered delivery and her iddah is over. That means her waiting period is over. That seeking marriage during this period is permissible, even if she's still bleeding, okay? Even if she's still bleeding, she can accept proposals. She can even marry. The only thing that her husband could not have intercourse with her, but they can perform the ceremony. Also from this hadith, we understand the permissibility of a woman asking the scholar or the learned person about certain issues, even if related to women and has what you may call privacy, okay? So, it's not because the woman is a woman and she's a female that she's supposed to be embarrassed to ask about certain things, because otherwise she may do something haram or do something that is not Islamically right. So it is very important for a woman to ask, even if the person that she's going to ask is a male, okay? As long as he knows what is right, what is wrong. Also from this hadith, it doesn't show any mistake upon a woman that she seeks marriage. Okay? There's nothing wrong for a woman to go and to be concerned about herself getting married. Because as you understand, in certain countries, the culture or the habit, that the woman wait until her father decides for her to get married. Okay? But this woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she inquiring about her case and that she want to get married. So is nothing wrong in this. We go to the second hadith, and this hadith number 946, and we're going to leave this hadith alone due to defect in the hadith. The hadith is da'if, is weak, it has a defect. Therefore, we're going to leave this hadith alone. We'll go to page number 391 and hadith number 947. وعن الشعبي عن فاطمة بنت قيس عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في المطلقة ثلاثة ليس لها سكنة ولا نفقة ليس لها سكنة ولا نفقة and hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim. This hadith reported by Fatima bint Qais, daughter of Qais, from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning a woman that been divorced 3 times. Okay, that means she had the final divorce, been divorced 3 different times. That for such woman, that no nafaka, no spending on her, no provision, okay, money wise or shelter and a house wise, okay, because this only for a woman that after the first or the second divorce, because the husband still have like what you may call it authority over her that he can take her back. So a woman after a first divorce, second divorce, her husband responsible about maintaining her, sheltering her. If the woman been divorced the third time, she still have to have a iddah, waiting period before she remarry. Okay? But there is no support or maintenance for her. Maybe somebody would like to ask or would come to this situation concerning where she goes or who's responsible.
That's the third divorce from the same person.
A woman could not be divorced except by the same man, the husband.
No, we didn't make that clear, that's why I'm asking.
Okay. The only person can divorce is the husband. Okay? And if a woman is not married to a man, if somebody else divorces her, okay, is not count as a divorce.
No, that's not what I was asking.
Okay. So what's your question?
Wanted to clarify to make certain that you're saying the third divorce from the same husband.
Not three, like three different husbands.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to make sure you're saying three divorces from one husband and
okay,
separate divorces from three men.
If a woman been divorced
for the third time
mm-hmm. by the same husband,
right.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
If she's divorced by like the third husband, I mean the first man. Is there support for you? Said no support for her.
No support for her.
She divorced 3 times.
If a Ibrahim mm-hmm. married to Sumaya, okay, Ibrahim had divorced Sumaya. He took her back. This is one divorce. Later on, he divorced her the second time. This is the second divorce. He took her back. Now, alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah, he divorced her the third time. Now, Sumayya is completely divorced, three divorces from Ibrahim. After the third pronouncement, he is not responsible about her by any means, with exception if she is pregnant from him. Okay? Now, imagine this woman have to go to her father, to her brother, okay, to the Muslim community, to the imam in the Muslim community, but somebody else responsible about her, not the husband. Okay? Not the husband. The husband is responsible about her after the first and the second divorce, for support, for maintenance, for everything. Okay? Hadith number 948 وعن أم عطية أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تحد المرأة على ميت فوق ثلاث إلا على زوج أربعة أشهر وعشرة ولا تلبس ثوبا مصبوغا إلا ثوب حصب ولا تتحل ولا تمس طيبة إلا إذا طهرت نبذت من قسط او اظفار. متفق عليه. This hadith is reported by Umm Atiyah, may Allah be pleased with her. The hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim as well as Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullah alayhima, so the hadith is authentic. Okay? And in this hadith it shows the time that a woman have to observe in mourning over her husband. Okay? And this time is 4 months and 10 days. Other than this, thank you very much, other than this, no any male relatives or non-relatives, mahram or non-mahram, she could not have mourning over him, sadness, and avoid certain clothes and certain way of living more than 3 nights. So it means it shows you the right of a husband over his wife is more even than her father, her brother, anybody else. Okay? So let's assume that this woman, her brother or her father pass away. Maximum period of mourning over this man will be what? 3 nights. After this, she have to go to her regular life. Only the case if this male is who? Her husband. So in this case will be what? 4 months and 10 days. It's not permissible for her to put kuhl in her eyes. It's not permissible for her to wear clothes that been dyed by different colors, not the natural color. Okay? It's not supposed for her to put any kind of perfume. Okay? Because all this part of being not out of mourning. So by doing it, the breaking this kind of behavior that she's supposed to have over her husband. Something here very important, I want to make it clear, because it said that she's not supposed to put perfume. Okay? In general, a woman is not supposed to use perfume at any time, especially if she's going outside of her house. It's haram, it's forbidden. And the Prophet ﷺ told us that a woman who wear perfume and go outside, she's equal to a woman who committing adultery. So what this hadith is talking about, that she's not supposed to have perfume on during the morning time. Is it mean after the 4 months and 10 days that she can put the perfume? Okay. Now this is a special case that the Sahaba women, may Allah be pleased with them, after their menses or after their bleeding period, they used to use some kind of perfume or incense, special incense, in their private parts to remove the strong smell of the blood. So this is like exception for a woman after bleeding period, she can use something like this. Okay, this is only special for to remove the strong smell of the blood from her private parts. But in a normal time, a woman is not supposed to use any perfume, period. Especially when she's going outside of her house. She can use it inside the house for her husband, for herself, but if she decides to go outside, she have to take a complete shower. Otherwise, the Prophet ﷺ told us about the seriousness of this matter. A woman having perfume and going outside, she's equal to a woman that commit adultery. So from this hadith, we understand the permissibility of a woman of having mourning over any relatives, but not to exceed 3 nights. That the period of mourning over a husband is 4 months and 10 days. That a part of the mourning that a woman not to use the kuhl in her eyes. Okay. Also that she is not supposed to use henna in her hair or in her hands or in her feet during the time of mourning. That she forbidden from wearing garment that been dyed by different colors except with the nature color. That permissible for a woman to use perfume by taking a piece of cotton as example and wet it with perfume and use it in her private parts to try to remove the strong smell of the blood. Also from this hadith we see how great right a husband having over his wife. In page number 392 and hadith number 949 عن أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت جعلت على عيني صبرا بعد أن توفي أبو سلمة فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنه يشب الوجه فلا تجعليه إلا بالليل وانزعيه بالنهار ولا تتمشط بالطيب ولا بالحناء فإنه خضاب قلت بأي شيء أتمشط قال بالسدر رواه أبو داود والنسائي وإسناده حسن. This hadith been reported by سلمة, may Allah be pleased with her. The hadith is in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood, rahmatullah alayhi, and the Nisa'i, and the hadith is good. The hadith is Hassan. That Ummu Salama, she said, I put in my eyes, sabra, after the death of my husband, Abu Salama. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbid her of using this kind of solution or this leaves, something from the trees. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her that this it caused the face to be bright or younger. Okay, and this will become like a means of beautification to your face. So therefore, don't do it except by night. Okay? Don't have it the whole day. It's like maybe like a powder or alcohol or something that when it used, it makes a woman looks younger in her face. Okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid her to use it and said to her, if she have to use it, that she have to remove it by the day. And also, when she comb her hair, not to be using any oil. Okay? Not even using henna. Okay? And why? Because Umm Salama was still during the period of mourning over her husband. So again, this hadith to emphasize, alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullah, the hadith before that a woman is not supposed to be try to beautify herself during this period of waiting after the death of her husband. And that there is specific things that a woman is forbidden from during this period, like kuhl and henna. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives a woman alternative to use, okay, like as example to remove this, what word that he used it here for? No, this is lot three, this is for the hair. Okay, but the thing that she used to put it in her eyes.
Aloe. The juice of
aloe.
Oh, aloe vera.
Aloe?
Oh.
Aloe. Anybody know what's aloe?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Skin,
yeah, but it's leaves from the trees or?
It's like cactus. It's like cactus.
Okay, it's some a plant.
Like
okay, cactus, all right. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave her alternatives that she can remove it during the day, and also other alternative to use the lot tree for her hair if she want to use it. In another hadith, which hadith number 950, that امرأة قالت يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن ابنتي مات عنها زوجها وقد اشتكت عينها أفنكحلها قال لا متفق عليه. So even in a matter of using the kuhl as a medicine, which basically most of the kuhl that is used this nowadays is nothing except for a look. Okay, but the kuhl that been used in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially al-athmad, is more for medication than beautification. Okay, so this woman came to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because her daughter, her husband died. That means her son-in-law passed away, and she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said that my daughter, her eyes has irritation and we need to put kuhl. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her no, not to use this. Why? Because kuhl is a means of beautification, and the woman have to find a different means to take care of her eyes. Hadith number 951, وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال طلقت خالتي فأرادت أن تجد نخلها فزجرها رجل أن تخرج، فأتت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال بل جدي نخلك فإنك عسى أن تصدقي أو تفعلي معروفة. جابر من الله ببليز وزهيم كاتب says that my aunt had passed away. Okay, that my aunt had been divorced, excuse me, and during her waiting period she want to go out, she on a field and she have a palm tree in it, and she want to do some kind of cultivation or it means, you understand, to improve her garden. So some of her relatives had warned her or forbid her, discouraged her to do this. So she went and questioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her to go ahead and cut down her palm tree, because perhaps as a result of doing this, that you will give a sadaqah, or that you will do a good deed. Okay? So we understand that a woman during the waiting period, what you call waiting idda, she's not supposed to be in and out, okay, for no reason. Okay? In matter of necessity or needs, she is permitted to go out. Okay? And this is the general ruling, that a woman during her idda, that she's supposed to spend her idda in her house, especially as long that she have her income, she have her food, she have whatever she needs, there is no necessity of her going out. Okay? So this is the understanding that this Sahabi understood, and as a result of this, when her aunt been divorced and she was going to go out to cut her palm tree, to cut it down, he forbid her, he discouraged her. So she went to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam permitted her to do so. So from this hadith we understand the permissibility of a woman during idda. What is idda again? The waiting period after divorce or separation or khul' or divorce or death. Okay? Or death. All this call a time of idda under any of these cases. So during this waiting period after death of the husband, or separation, or khul', or divorce, a woman should stay home. If there is need and necessity for her to go out, now we say, yes, she can go out. Otherwise, she should remain in her house. Also, from this hadith, we understand that a permissibility of asking the people of knowledge, even if you've been given fatwa by somebody that you may assume he's not knowledgeable enough, okay? Because the woman, after this man gave her the discourage her and told her she shouldn't, she went and asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, that Islam encouraged to give charity and give gift, okay? Because this was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go ahead and cut down your palm tree, because there is a possibility that you will give gift or you give a charity. We go to page number 393, hadith number 952. وعن فريعة بنت مالك أن زوجها خرج في طلب الأعبد له فقتلوه. قالت: فسألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن أرجع إلى أهلي، فإن زوجي لم يترك لي مسكنا يملكه ولا نفقة. فقال: نعم. فلما كنت في الحجرة ناداني فقال: امكثي في بيتك حتى يبلغ الكتاب أجله. قلت: فاعتددت فيه 4 أشهر و10. قالت: فقضى به بعد ذلك عثمان رضي الله عنه. The hadith reported from Fry'a, daughter of Malik, may Allah be pleased with her, and the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Hibban, al-Hakim and others. The hadith is authentic. That Furaya, daughter of Malik, her husband had went looking for some of his slaves that escaped or run away. They had hide themselves for him and they killed him. Okay. The result of this, the man never came back, the husband never came back to his house. So Furaya questioned the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning her going back to her family, to her father's house, and to be with the family. That because her husband didn't leave any house for her that he owned. That means he don't have his own house, she's a rental house or something like this. And also he didn't leave any money for her, so now she has needs to move to her family for somebody who can shelter her and support her. So after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her yes, and while she was in the room didn't depart, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called me again and say, remain in your house until your waiting period over. So she spent her waiting period, which is 4 months and 10 days, and this was the same judgment that Uthman radiallahu an used to legislate or give fatwa to the people later on during his time. From this hadith, we understand that the waiting period of the woman is who her husband had died, that 4 months and 10 days. Also that a woman that her husband had passed away, she have to remain in the same house, not to move to other house. She will be permitted to move to other house after the waiting period is over. Hadith number 953 in the same page. وعن فاطمة بنت قيس قالت قلت يا رسول الله إن زوجي طلقني 3 وأخاف أن يقتحم علي. قال فأمرها فتحولت. رواه مسلم. This hadith reported by Fatima bint Qais, may Allah be pleased with her. The hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, the hadith is authentic, which she complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning her case that her husband had divorced her, a final divorce, that means the third divorce. And she was scared that maybe somebody will break in the house or some kind of harm it may happen to her being in the house by herself. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had permitted her to move to other house which more secure. Again, we understand from this the necessity of a woman remaining in the same house, regardless if she been divorced the third time or that her husband passed away, that a woman may go to another house to be in it as a result of no security in this house that she is in. That somebody maybe break in the house or that whatever that can happen to her, and something may similar to this nowadays, that would be evicted out of the house. As example, the landlord will come and she could not pay the rent, she don't have the money. So all these things, the person have no control over it, that they will be okay for them to move. Otherwise, the original rules for a woman during her iddah to remain in the same place where she had received her divorce or the news about the death of her husband. Hadith number 954. وعن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنه قال لا تلبسوا علينا سنة نبينا عدة أم الولد إذا توفى عنها سيدها 4 أشهر و10. This hadith, which is number 954, we're going to leave it alone due to defect in the hadith. The hadith is weak. Hadith number 955 عن عائشة, may Allah be pleased with her. قالت إنما الأقراء الأطهار. أخرجه مالك وأحمد والنسائي من قصة بسند صحيح. The hadith reported by Aisha. The hadith is authentic. And this is concerning القرء, the word قرء. This matter of waiting period, does a woman count by the menses or count by the cleaning period? As example, did you switch the table? Okay. That means if a woman been divorced, okay, now is she going to count 3 menses or 3 cleaning period after the menses? The word the qur, it can mean menses and can mean also the cleaning time after the menses. But this is a big difference between the Salaf and even in the time of the Sahaba. And Aisha here, she tried to make it clear that Al-Qur, which is the word here, came Al-Aqra, which is a plural, okay? The period of women's between the 2 menses, okay, that the period that she's clean. So what I'm saying is that the issue in actuality is not an easy issue to be decided, because the disagreement even was there among the Sahaba concerning. But from this hadith that Aisha won't make that the Al-Qur mean the period that the woman is clean and she count for herself 3 times. And we understand that a man could not divorce his woman during menses, okay? And when Umar radiallahu anhu, when Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, divorced his wife during her menses, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa told Umar to order his son Abdullah to take his wife back and to wait until she's clean from her period. And after this, if he wants